Welcome to the 175th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Vidar Sunstall, the acclaimed Norwegian author of The Land of Dreams, the first book in the Minnesota trilogy. Stay tuned for the interview. The Reading and Writing Podcast is sponsored by the book-loving nerds at Riffle. Riffle is an online book community that connects readers with authors and books that they'll love. Readers use Riffle to find the next book that they want to read. And authors use Riffle to make their books stand out and drive sales. Join the Riffle community today at rifflebooks.com. That's RiffleBooks.com. And look for the link in the show notes as well. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Vidar Sunstall. Vidar's novel, The Land of Dreams, a crime novel, is the first novel in the Minnesota trilogy. The Land of Dreams is available now from the University of Minnesota Press. The Land of Dreams won the Riverton Prize for Best Norwegian Crime Novel in 2008. Vidar, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, at the outset, can I have you read a quick section from The Land of Dreams?
Sure. I'll read from very early on in the book, where the main character, the policeman Lance Hansen, discovers something by the shore of Lake Superior an early morning. He parked his service vehicle at the end of the road and got out. It was 7:28. In front of him stretched Lake Superior. There was nothing to see but light and water and sky, no opposite shore on which to fix his eyes, just the illusory meeting of sky and the surface of the water far off in the distance. The site where the tent had been spotted was a couple of hundred yards north of where he stood. An alert woman had called to report that someone had illegally pitched a tent down by the lake. He tried to catch sight of anyone over there, but the birch trees stood too close together. As he turned around to get his binoculars from the truck, he noticed a shoe lying on the path that led to Barraga's Cross. He went over to the shoe. It looked brand new, a white running shoe. It looked as if someone had simply stepped out of it, and when he examined the ground more closely, he discovered that he was right. That was exactly what had happened. About 18 inches in front of the shoe, he saw the print of a bare foot that had skidded on the path, which was damp with morning dew. He also saw a handprint which showed that the individual had fallen. But the person hadn't put the shoe back on. Lance wondered what would make someone leave an almost new running shoe behind. Even though the reported campsite was in the opposite direction, he picked up the shoe and followed the path through the dense birch underbrush. Thank you.
Great. Well, for those listeners who haven't read The Land of Dreams yet, how would you describe the novel?
I would describe it as a murder mystery which includes a portrait of a whole community and the people living in that community and the local history of that community. And this community is the Cook County on the shore of Lake Superior, between Lake Superior and Canada. So it's sort of it's a crime mystery, a murder mystery, which also is like a chronicle of a whole community, and in particular one family, the family of this main character, the U.S. Forest Service law enforcement officer Lance Hansen, which is a Norwegian family. He is the descendant of Norwegian immigrants, like many other people up there.
Right. And I know that you lived in Minnesota for several years prior to writing The Land of Dreams. What brought you to Minnesota?
My wife, who is American, and so we lived in Kentucky, in Lexington, Kentucky. And then my wife is a biologist, and she applied for jobs And she applied for several jobs in the U.S. Forest Service system all over the states. And then by coincidence, she got a job up in northeast Minnesota. And so I had never planned to end up among the sort of lutefisk-eating Norwegian-Americans, but I did by accident.
Great. And so are you going to write a novel about Kentucky next?
No, I mean, I didn't live there for more than a few months, really, so...
No, I know. So when you were living in Minnesota, did you start thinking about and planning the Land of Dreams? And I was curious, was there something specific that sparked the idea for the novel? And as I mentioned at the outset, it's the first novel in a trilogy.
Yeah, there was certainly something particular that sparked the initial idea. And that was, and it was actually on the 4th of July, 2004. My wife and I, we were driving up we were going to Canada. This is not far from Canada, you know, so we were going up to Thunder Bay to buy, I don't know what, painkillers and Canadian bacon or something. and on the way we passed an old and slightly dodgy looking motel, which was called the Whispering Pines. And my wife said, doesn't that look like a like the scene of murder, scene of crime from a murder mystery, death at the Whispering Pines. And we just started to, just for fun, we started to muse about what kind of a policeman who might investigate a murder up there in Cook County and who might get killed. And then we picked up that thread again when we were out driving later on, and we started talking about this imaginary policeman, this fictitious policeman, giving him a private life, giving him a name, giving him, you know, things. What does he like? What does he hate? Does he drink? Doesn't he drink? Does he have a wife? Is he divorced? All these things. And after a year or so, we had pretty much created the whole world around Lance Sampson, actually. So my wife was very much involved in this in the very beginning.
That's a great story. So I'm curious, what were had you written crime novels prior to the Minnesota trilogy? What were your earlier novels about?
I had written three novels before The Land of Dreams, and that was more, let's say, literary novels. Mm-hmm. Among other, is one novel is from Egypt, from the city of Alexandria, which is sort of a portrait of that city. I lived there for a year or two. So, but none of the three first books had any sort of crime elements to them. So, and the reason why I made this a crime novel was simply, it had something to do with, we started talking about this policeman, so it starts there, but it also starts somewhere else. It starts at the very moment when I saw Lake Superior for the first time, when we drove up from Lexington, Kentucky for the first time. And there's this place called Thompson's Hill just before we get to Duluth. And when you come around a bend on the highway there, suddenly you see Lake Superior after you've been driving through a pretty uniform, pretty boring, semi-prairie landscape for a couple of days. And it's just like coming to another world or another planet almost. And it had a huge impact on me. And from that very moment on, I knew that I was going to write something substantial from this place. And then when we started talking about this policeman, it suddenly struck me that that might be a very good character, because he has also always an excuse to sort of be everywhere and talk to people and ask questions and know a lot of things. So I also made him a sort of local historian, genealogist. So he pretty much knows everything about everybody in this area.
That's a great story about seeing Lake Superior for the first time. So did you have any reservations about writing a novel in Minnesota, given that you had only lived there for a couple of years?
Originally, I think when I started writing, because I didn't start writing the novel before we moved to Norway again. And then I thought to myself, what on earth am I embarking on now? Because how can I write a novel about an American man? I mean, I'm not American, and he's a policeman. I'm not a policeman. But then I just started, and the thing is that I mean, the novel is about Norwegian Americans, but it's at the end of the day, it's like every other novel that I write is about people, and it's about ordinary people sort of experiencing crisis in their lives. There's a murder that happens, and there are suspicions within the family, and so just my general fascination for what happens when ordinary people get really, really sort of squeezed into a corner.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So when did you first start writing fiction? And I'm curious, did you start out writing short stories, or did you immediately when you first started trying to work on
them? I started very early. I mean, I started like almost 20 years before I published my first novel. So I and through those 20 years, I really attempted to become a writer, and it was hard work. But I, what did I write? I wrote everything in the beginning when I started out. I was like 18, 19. I wrote poetry. I wrote short stories. I tried to write big novels and sort of made it to page 20 a couple of times. the usual story. But then the first, I've published seven novels and seven books, and they're all novels. So it's like it's in that genre that I belong, I guess.
Sure, sure. So are you working on more crime novels now? What are you working on now?
Well, since the trilogy was concluded here in Norway in 2011, the last book came out here, and since that I've written a thriller, like an international archaeology thriller, that was published here now this fall, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do now, but I do actually have I think there might come another Lance Hansen book from Minnesota, actually, or perhaps even a couple of them. I'm starting to feel. I went over to Minnesota in October. I was in Minnesota then when the book was launched, so I was there and did a promotion tour, and mostly in the Twin Cities, and up in Duluth, and then we also went up to the North Shore where the books take place, and I suddenly got reminded of how much I like this, not just the actual place, but this fiction universe that I created after I got home, and I suddenly really, really felt like writing more about Lance Hansen, about the Ojibwe.
Right.
Cultural mix in the background there, which is very fascinating. So there might be another book about Lance coming in a year or two.
Gotcha. And do you have an English publication deal for the thriller yet?
In the States, you mean?
In the States.
Or yeah, the trilogy will be the rest of the trilogy will be published. The second book will be published next year, and the third book in 2015.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about the thriller that you said was published in Norway.
Oh, the thriller?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I haven't got a deal on that yet, no.
Gotcha. So given your experience with writing the seven novels and having them published and then having the trilogy published by the University of Minnesota Press, what advice would you have for aspiring writers who may be listening?
Well, the only advice that you can really give people is to never give up. That's the only thing that works. I mean, because of the simple fact that in the moment that you give up, you don't stand a chance anymore. As long as you haven't given up, you're still in the game, and you just have to. You have to read a lot, and you have to work a lot, and you really have to. It's also a good idea not to think of yourself as a genius before you have had the first book published. Because if you do, you never learn anything. You have to try to learn from people who are criticizing your work. There's usually a reason that you can't get your books published. It's usually not because you are so brilliant and everybody else are stupid. It's often the other way around.
That's good advice. That's
like a trap that quite a few young writers go into, actually. They start thinking of themselves as sort of misunderstood geniuses, and then you can't get anywhere.
Right, right. So you mentioned reading. Who have you been reading lately
Late,
and that you would maybe recommend?
Well, right now, actually, but you see, I read a lot more history than I read novels, really. But right now, I'm reading a wonderful, brand new book from my American publisher from the University Press in Minnesota. A book called North Country: The Making of Minnesota. A great history book about the history of Minnesota up till 1850 or around there when it actually became a state. So up right. till it becomes a state. So I read a lot of history. I read a lot of history from not just Minnesota, but from American history in general, also antique history. But when it comes to crime fiction, I don't really read that much crime fiction these days.
Gotcha. Where can people find you online if they're interested in learning more about you? Do you have a website?
No, well, I have a website, but that isn't really. I'm not really posting anything there now, but you can find me on Facebook. I have both an ordinary private account, and then I have my author page there that you can like, and then you get all the news that I post, and people can write to me, and I'm more than happy to. I always answer people, and I really enjoy to communicate with people who read my books. Great. So Facebook is the place.
Great. And I'll have a link to that as well so that people can find it. I did want to ask a question. You mentioned earlier about the Norwegian settlers who settled in this region of Minnesota. Was that interesting for you to go back and learn about that history of Norwegian immigrants who had moved to that area of the U.S.?
Yeah, it was very interesting and very, I would say that it was actually quite touching, quite moving when I got up there, because obviously I knew about it. I knew that more than a million Norwegians moved to the States between 1825 and 1925, which back then was like one third of the population, really. So it's a very well-known fact here. But when I got up there for the first time, I met people who were the descendants of these immigrants. And in that particular corner of Minnesota, the immigration came pretty late, actually. So it was around 1900, and a lot of people immigrated in the up to the 1920s and 30s. So I met people whose parents and grandparents had come over from Norway. So the whole experience of immigration was very much alive, and these things really mattered to people. And for me, being at that time sort of an immigrant myself, I wasn't sure if we were going to move back to Norway or whatever. It really did something to me, and it touched me on a deep level when I heard about this, all these stories about the hardship and all the things that people had leave behind, people who couldn't even speak English when they came over there, and to see what their descendants have made out of their lives. It really did something to me.
That's interesting. Well, again, we've been speaking with Vidar Sundstahl, author of The Land of Dreams, available in bookstores now. So grab a copy. Vidar, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.